It's 12:06. Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. We've got a full band here. Steph McPherson and her band are here, making a trip through the area from a performance I gathered yesterday in San Francisco on the way home. That must feel kind of nice. Steph, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You are originally from where?
From Victoria, BC.
Victoria, now in Vancouver?
I'm actually back in Victoria again. I was in Vancouver for about 3 years and then moved home to make the record and then just sort of stuck around because I get to hang out with these wonderful people all the time when I
do that. Right, and I'll have you introduce them in just a minute. The new album is called Bells and Whistles, and this is one of many albums that we have seen over the course of the last couple of years that have at least a percentage of funding that comes from this amazing cultural grant program in Canada, right?
Yeah, we're extremely lucky to have that, despite how difficult it can be to get some of those.
Yeah, I would imagine.
To have the option is phenomenal.
Yeah, it seems like it's a fairly competitive process because there are so many wonderful musicians coming out of Canada, or they've maybe always been there, but now we have better exposure to them because this grant program's kind of making the music available here in the States for us too.
Mm-hmm.
I read online that you have some family heritage from New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right. My parents actually met in New Zealand. My dad is a New Zealand citizen and my mom lived there for most of her life after being born in England.
How did they end up in BC?
Wow, that's long-winded, actually. they got married. They moved to BC first and then to Iran for a little while and were actually there and had to smuggle themselves out during the revolution.
Oh, wow.
They went back to England and then they came back to BC. And then they've been there since then.
So you are versed in piano and guitar?
Yes.
Is one of them more natural than the other for you? Does it feel more comfortable?
Guitar does now because it's sort of become a part of my person, and piano is a little bit less portable.
Mm. How do you write? Do you write on guitar or on piano?
A little bit of both, mostly on guitar, though.
Does the result of writing on guitar differ than when you write songs sitting in front of a piano?
Yeah, I can't seem to get away from the, like, extremely slow ballad on the piano. I listened to some Sarah Sleen and played some staccato chords, but I just was not doing it.
Mm. Well, early on, I read that you entered a couple of fairly high-profile songwriting contests. One of them was Lilith Fair. Another was, I gather, a regional songwriting competition in BC?
Yeah, I've been in a few competition-y things the last couple of years. It was a talent search for Lilith Fair to play the opening slot in the Ambleside, at the Ambleside location. And I won that. And then I entered the Peak Performance Project in the same year, and that's a local BC sort of development program where you get some radio exposure and you get a what's called a peak boot camp, and they send you to a resort and work you like dogs and put you through seminars, and you learn a lot. It's really, really helpful if you're starting out and if you're sort of a little more established too.
Is it weird to be in competitions? I mean, are you competitive by nature?
Not really. I don't know. I think everyone's a little bit competitive because we all at times crave attention. I don't know. I'm not really cutthroat, which might work against me at times, but I'm okay with that.
What do they have you do?
For the Peak?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird dynamic because everyone's so chummy during the whole thing and everyone acted like we were like the best friends, and it wasn't really acting for me or for most people, I think, but we got really chummy. But then we also had to keep in the back of our minds that like we wanted to one up everyone at any free point throughout the competition.
So do they give you like dogs, snow, incorporate a mandolin, go?
No. That would be fun though. They give you tasks sort of, so there was like Sean can help me with this one. What were the tasks?
There was a charity.
Right. You support a local charity or grassroots initiative. No, you start a grassroots initiative. You had to create a viral video.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually a pretty hilarious concept to me, the idea of creating a video with the intention of it going viral.
Right. They're teaching you more than just songwriting. They're almost teaching you sort of the business of how you become a performer in 2013.
Absolutely,
if the case is.
Yeah. They had like social media courses, courses on publishing and licensing and applying for grants. Yeah.
Sounds incredibly handy.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Steph McPherson and her band are my guests live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Bells and Whistles. What are you guys going to play first?
This is called Silver Platter. I get it. I think I finally get it now. It's been a life of lurking down for fear of falling. No exception, just a word I call myself, as if vocabulary helps the fear. Silver platter and held up by a cruel hand, and I have a mind to be fully shattered, but I'll stand.
I'll stand, I'll stand.
Oh, I'll stand.
I'll stand.
Otherwise, just cause worthy of defending. So I'll believe it. I would turn and face the fight if you give me one clear sign the burden's worth bending. Oh, and it's my heart on a silver platter. Fully shattered, but I'll stand.
I'll stand, I'll stand.
Oh, I'll stand.
I'll stand, I'll stand.
Oh, I'll stand.
I'll stand, I'll stand. I'll stand, I'll stand.
I'll stand too close to you.
It's Steph McPherson and her band live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. You can find us online, ijpr.org, or on Facebook. We'll have pictures up from the session later on today, hopefully, maybe later on this week. Steph, you were talking about these songwriting workshops, and I'm curious, there was obviously a live performance aspect at some point over the course of these competitions?
Yes, yeah, that was pretty heavily weighted in the results, I think.
When you're in a competitive situation like that, do you perform or sing differently or choose a different kind of song than you would if you were just in a concert performance somewhere? Like, do you try to find something that's going to highlight a specific attribute of your singing or music that might grab a judge's attention?
Yeah, that's so hard to gauge, though. For things like The Peak, your overall songwriting and performance were taken into account. So you just wanted to make sure you chose sort of a good rounded out variety of songs for the sets that you played, for the live sets. For this other thing I did through another radio station in Vancouver called The Shore, it was an actual just songwriting competition. We chose one that I guess had the strongest melody and lyric content in the opinion of my own personal jury of people that I sampled songs for. But yeah, it's really hard to gauge something like that. Mm.
Steph McPherson and her band are my guests live in the studio. And before we continue on, Steph, who have you brought in?
We have lots of people here. We've got Sean Huberts, who plays bass in the band, Jason Cook on drums, Lindsay Bryan, she does a little acoustic guitar, a little keys and backing vocals, and Adam Sutherland, and he's on guitar, usually electric, but acoustic today.
Welcome to all of you. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
Why was there such a long gap between the release of this album in Canada, which was last April, mm-hmm. and here in the States? Why not just release it everywhere at the same time?
I don't actually know the answer to that.
Is it logistics?
I guess we were sort of trying to work it a little bit locally first, because unless you have a little bit of what you call a story going, it's hard to make anyone listen to you at all. And then Kevin Sutter came to us through a friend who plays with another artist that he has worked with, and actually proposed a radio campaign for the States, and it was a good enough idea to all of us that we decided to do the release and set it up around the radio campaign.
Cool. I know Canadian radio has some official criteria in terms of the percentage of music that it must play from Canadian artists. Does that create a little bit different situation for artists in Canada trying to sort of break in, that at least radio is somewhat required to play a bit of Canadian music at all times?
I think it helps, yeah. There's still a lot of competition with the higher-up acts, but local stations.
Like Shania Twain and Sarah McLachlan, stuff like that, right?
Bieber.
Yeah. who?
Never heard of him.
Right, because it's something like 35% of all of the music on radio has to come from Canadian artists, and if it's a CBC station, it's got to be 50%.
CBC is a godsend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of instantly nationwide, is that right? If you get lucky enough to get noticed and draw some attention from CBC?
Yeah. Once they get behind you, they're an unbelievably supportive entity in Canada.
Yeah. Is this now your first real tour of the United States?
Yes.
And how many dates have you done in the States so far?
Just a handful. Six, says Sean.
Is it different at all?
No, not really. It's different. There are different vibes at different venues for sure. And it's way easier to get around down the West Coast than across Canada. Mm. We had our big drive so far has been 7 or 8 hours, and that would have been double that in Canada to get from one place to another. But it's cool. Yeah. And we've just had so much fun in the cities down here. It's it feels like it's a little bit more vibrant. There are definitely more people around, so it's easier to bring in people just from walking past on streets in cities because they are there.
Yeah. And are you finding so far in the places where you have stopped, are you finding people that have some familiarity with your music already, or are these a lot of really new ears?
There are a lot of very new ears, yeah. A couple places, like Cottage Grove, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We played at a local pub. A girl actually called out the title of one of my songs and was like, play this one. And I was sort of startled by that. Like, how the heck do you know that? But she'd actually done her research, so there were more people that actually did some looking into what was happening in town. I think a little more than I've ever experienced in Canadian towns.
Let's hear some more music and then continue the conversation. What are you going to play next?
We are going to play Bells and Whistles. This is actually the single off of the new album and the title track of the new album.
This is not a straight path. There are bends along the way that I can't see past. Oh, and there are potholes. You could fall all the way to China through. Queens and nations, we are not. We are not. Now for all the bells and whistles blown inside of all the great unknown, we're lost. We're lost. We are.
The best.
It's Steph McPherson live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service online at ijpr.org, the title track from the new album called Bells and Whistles. Well, as the saying goes, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but you had an incident that went way beyond just imitation, right? Where there was actually someone that had collected a bunch of songs and posted a bunch of songs.
How do you know this?
posted them online, like lip-syncing to your music?
Yes.
To your actual recordings?
Yeah. Did Sean just tell you that?
No. I researched. I looked it up. So how did you come to find out about this?
Someone emailed me, and I think she was somehow like a little like distantly related to the girl, and she had found out that this was happening. She said like that it had been harmless until she realized that she was selling the songs on iTunes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And so I went and looked, and it was actually really eerie to see. Because she had literally ripped the audio from YouTube videos that I had done acoustically and then lip-synced to that, holding a guitar slightly out of frame so you couldn't see the cording. And she did a pretty good job of it. She had quite a few followers.
Wow, that's rather ingenious.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, was she a legitimate fan of yours? And was it really done from a place of you know, just really enjoying the music that you create? Or was there something else going on there?
I think maybe... I have no idea, because the way that it was handled was a little bit harshly, I think, in the long run. It turns out that she had also stolen some music from some friends of mine and used a moniker of the title song of some other friends of ours to name that second band.
Oh, wow.
Some of them got upset and sort of went a bit on the attack and said, take this down immediately or we'll pursue with legal action.
Yeah.
So I never really got to actually interact with her at all and say, so what's this about? Because you probably shouldn't be selling it. I'm not super offended. It's a little weird to see you singing it and pretending it's you, though. I feel like it was maybe a little bit of a delusion that got out of hand. But I have no way of gauging, for sure.
Did it end okay for you, though?
Yeah, no harm done. Yeah. And also, we gained a lot of people from that, too. Who found out who we were and still liked the music. So
that's a good outcome, I guess. You know, it seems like a lot of artists that fall in the category of sort of a diamond of folk, pop, rock, and country. And then there's a sort of sweet spot in the middle where the music takes bits and pieces of all of that. But what's been interesting over the years is it seems like a lot of artists that make that type of music, you could call it AAA or Americana or Canadiana or whatever you want to call it, the first album comes out and it's very acoustic based. And then as the next album or the subsequent album after that comes out, the sound gets bigger and a little louder. And all of a sudden there are drums. And rather than it being a more folky record, is that a natural progression for you as well? I mean, this is a bigger sound than your 2009 release, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And that was something I wanted. I wanted more, and I wanted it to be a little bit darker, a little bit less just folky. It was a natural progression for me.
Is it a matter of having capital? I mean, you have more capital to have more people in the band, more people in the studio, a bit more involved recording process, and more capital to reach out to people and say, hey, you know what? I'm actually starting to go somewhere. I'd like you to come along on the journey and have people actually say yes.
Capital is a great help.
Yeah.
For that.
Well, this is a first tour in the States, but really for you guys, I gather, this is really not a particularly new album at this point. I mean, if it came out in April in Canada, it was probably done months earlier than that. This is going on a year old for you. Where are you at currently in the creation of music and the next chapter?
I've been writing, and actually Jason, the drummer here, is the producer on the last two albums, and we've been talking about...
The drummer that plays guitar and sings.
Yeah.
Faux drumming.
I'm kind of excited about the next album because I've got a solid group of people around me that are willing to play with me and to sort of be a part of that creative process. And so it's more fun to have people to bounce ideas off of and people with their own really great creative ideas as well. I'm just trying to decide what to do for the next album exactly.
Well, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you. What are you going to wrap up with?
This is Summer Salute. This is a song I wrote when I had first moved to Vancouver and was startled by how much of the year was gray and wet. Sweater you wear in cold weather to keep it out. So here's to going green and opting for blankets over thermostatics to keep it out. Summer salute to these 8 months of rain. But what do we do, honey? What do you say to me now? We could chase the sun to the other side of this. It sounds so romantic, but what's the catch? Love on the run, that's no way to do it. We'll work our way through it. Let's try for that. Say to me now. Oh, 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 we're so close to a change. A summer salute to these 8 months of rain. But what do you do, honey? What do you say to me now? Oh, 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 we're so close to a change. Summer salute to these 8 months of rain. But why do you do?
That is Steph McPherson and her band live in the studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. Steph McPherson's new album is called Bells and Whistles. Steph, thanks so much for dropping by JPR.